We are back at the grocery store to start this one off because I needed dish soap. And honestly, sometimes I go by color and get the bright orange one because that's kind of fun. But you can't miss with classic blue either. You know, Dawn, it's got the little ducklings on it. Because as the story goes, they wash birds with Dawn dish soap after oil spills or when they get into trouble. So first off, I get to thinking, do they really? Second, why Dawn? Third, let's give some press to the people saving the birds, right? What's that like? What exactly do they do? I've got questions. It's Mike here. Welcome back, and thank you. And I like birds. This was documented a bit during the dinosaur episode. Google that shoebill stork if you haven't already. But my other favorites are pelicans. Because have you seen one? They are big, they are hungry, they are goofy. When they come into land, they put their feet out, they get all wobbly like they're not quite sure how it's going to go. Even though they've done this 1,000 times. They're weirdos. So I call up the people who help pelicans and other seabirds when they get hurt or oiled or distressed. International Bird Rescue. And I say, what kind of soap do you use?
It is amazing. Something so simple can actually be so effective.
J.D. Bergeron, the CEO, and as you probably guessed by that first line, they use Dawn dish soap.
We certainly do, and we have for somewhere around 40 years.
And in that time, they've actually sought out things that could be better. They've tried to make their own. They've searched all over the place, but they keep coming back to Dawn. So what's the story?
The romantic one that came from our founder was that she knew she needed something affordable and easily accessible. So she was thinking about things from the grocery store. Back in the early 70s, there really was no solution for what to use to clean oiled wildlife. Things like kerosene were tested. Horrible effects on the animals, also very dangerous. So looking for something that was effective and gentle and easy to access because spills happen all over the place led us to Dawn.
As far as the how this works, why it works, it's a certain combination of the temperature they need to use for the water, the gentleness of the soap on the feathers, which thinking your hands, that's also their whole thing. You don't need big yellow dish gloves when cleaning up from dinner. Gentle enough for hands, gentle enough for birds. And then there's also the fact that Dawn is not made like your current crop of green cleaners. There is a little bit of petroleum in there.
Counterintuitively, it's actually that little bit, I believe, that makes the petroleum break down more effectively. And it's funny because a number of years we actually pursued the makers of Dawn, Procter & Gamble, to say, listen, there's this quality of your dish soap that you're missing out on. And that's what led to this incredible partnership.
Donations of a lot of soap every single year to keep them running. So that's that. That's the story, truth in advertising. And I thought, well, this is going to be a very short episode until he said, Mike, would you like to go down to San Pedro, our center near the Port of L.A., and see how we do all this? And I thought, well, yes, I would very much like to go and take all of you to help save some birds. And what you're hearing now is a western grebe, sort of duck-looking, but thinner, yellow beak, red eyes, kind of a mohawk hairdo, and obviously not super happy, because kind of like the doctor's office for us, if you wind up here at the bird rescue, it's not always great. And then you may need a wash, which would be like a giant grabbing you and then really scrubbing you down. It's not a spa day. It's going to save your life, but of course, you don't speak giant. So you don't realize.
We kind of compare like going through the wash process like running a marathon. So if you're not physically fit and feeling healthy and feeling good, like you're going to have a really hard time.
It's going to be a bad day.
Yeah, so it can actually kill birds putting them through a wash process too soon.
Kylie Clatterbuck is the center manager. She's going to take us around and says first step is always get everybody stable.
Make sure that they're getting calories, that they're hydrated, that they're thermoregulating properly.
That's one thing to understand here. It's not always the oil itself that kills the birds. It's the cold. Aquatic birds are waterproof. They sit in water, but the feathers essentially zip up into a barrier. And then if you get something on that barrier,
it's almost like getting gum in your hair where it breaks that integrity and it'll allow the water to penetrate down to the skin. And that's usually when the birds can't feed properly, they can't drink, and they're coming in really emaciated and dehydrated.
And there's also a couple different ways that this can happen. There's obviously high-profile oil spills. Those make the news. But there's also just natural seep. It's out there, part of the environment.
Say during oil spills, you're out actually actively collecting oiled animals. Generally, those birds are freshly oiled. They're still pretty robust. Those birds come in, get washed, get conditioned. I would say their turnaround is about 3 weeks. Birds oiled from natural seep are lucky that they're even found, first off, and then they've been sitting on a beach starving.
And oil, also not the only thing that they come in for.
One of our biggest concerns here is fishing line and fishing hook injuries, birds getting hit by cars, habitat loss.
And when I was there, it was a little bit of everything. I went right for the pelican with the broken wing.
Yeah, so he's got a little wrap on it to kind of help keep everything in its natural position. And he'll probably have, you know, those pins in for about 3 weeks, and then we'll work on conditioning for flight.
The good news, he's hungry. They eat a couple pounds of fish a day, the pelicans. And in the background here, you'll hear some grabbing some fish out of a tray. If they're in pretty bad shape and they're not hungry, they will get a fish milkshake, which was probably not on your bingo card of things you were going to hear today.
We have two centers, so one here, one in San Francisco, and we reserve like 25,000 pounds of fish for a year.
And what you're hearing right now, pretty mild, right? They're just kind of chomping away, six or seven of them. But something happened as I was recording this, actually right after I visited, the week after. There was this pelican crisis. A whole bunch showed up. They think there was some kind of food issue because a bunch of juveniles came in very, very hungry. And when I say a bunch, we're talking like 200 birds over a couple weeks. The sound of a lot of flapping wings. And that's kind of how it can be at this place. You never know what to expect. You go outside of these huge pens they have where the birds can actually fly around and get back to doing what they're supposed to be doing. And there was a pair of geese that were found in a wastewater plant.
They fell into the pit, or I don't know how they ended up in there, but they were contaminated with wastewater sewage.
It was also duckling season.
You can walk in here if you don't mind getting some bird poop on your shoes.
So, like 25 of the little guys who got separated from their moms. They were very cute. And there was also a lone seagull.
Juvenile gull here was actually found being walked by a string by a homeless man. We don't know how long he had him. The bird was in decent condition other than his plumage. He looks awkward. He doesn't have a tail. So all of his tail was broken off. So we're waiting for him to grow his tail in. This little baby was somebody's pet for a while.
On the mend, we'll be okay. We'll leave you with just one more. It was the white pelican, stood out from the rest, that came in feeling kind of bad, and they couldn't really figure it out until the x-ray.
So here, after we took this x-ray of the white pelican, we noticed that it had a screw in its lower intestines.
And it was not small.
No. What is that, about like an inch and a half? It's pretty decent. So they get themselves in all sorts of trouble.
Because with that kind of a scooper on the front of your face?
Yeah, you have no idea what you're grabbing. Just it's a goodie bag of fun. And unfortunately, when you live in an urban environment, you screws come in those goodie bags.
And you want to know the positive on this one and why we're kind of lighthearted about it? This guy got rid of that screw on his own. Dissolved it. That's a strong stomach. Just needed a place to hang out for a while to do that. Sitting on a beam, getting some fish, right across from a room full of Dawn dish soap. Thanks for coming on this field trip with me. I know maybe a little different than our usual, but we still learned some stuff. That's the goal. Thank you to International Bird Rescue. Thank you to all the rescue groups out there. We need to show appreciation for all the work they're doing. Send me some topics, because I appreciate that a whole lot. I've got questions at audacy.com, AUDACY. Somebody asked about gut feelings. We're working on that. How do impressionists learn to do what they do? All those voices. We'll get to that one, too. New episodes on Thursdays. Bye-bye.